Amen. How many's got the victory in here today? Amen. That's my favorite question I ask everybody, especially all the preachers. If I don't ask them that question, they often wonder if there's something wrong. Amen. Got to bear with me. I'm fighting a sore throat. But how many knows the devil's a liar? The Bible says in Psalms 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Amen. So if sometimes we sound like a bullfrog. It doesn't matter. Amen. I'm going to try and sing a song this morning. It means a lot to me. It's in the old hymn. It's called I Must Tell Jesus. And how many knows that He hears us whenever we talk to Him? Amen. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. So I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind and compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make up my troubles quickly and end. So I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. So I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. Help me sing. So I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone.
I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can save me, Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise Him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, we praise Your holy, sweet name. Shiriya bari kitiya toriya bari kiriya shatarararariya bari kiriya shando. Mighty God, You're faithful today. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, players. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe that song today? Amen. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to be starting in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. And before we start, I would just like to thank the Lord that we were able to enjoy your fellowship. Amen. We came up to get blessed from the Lord. Amen. How many knows it's good to fellowship with other brothers and sisters of Christ? Amen. Amen. We're going to enjoy it in heaven, so we might as well enjoy it down here. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank God, just like I testified just for a moment last night, that we just came out of an awesome youth camp. The power of God moved. The teenagers really reached out, and God touched and worked and moved. And so glad that we can be a part of these youth camps, family camps, kids camps, whatever we can be. How many knows that, just like Pastor Eastman taught this morning, to be available? How many knows that we're supposed to be willing vessels? Amen? Amen. Today we're going to be teaching on God wants willing vessels. Amen. How many knows that God wants us to do a work for Him? And it is awesome to me to look around to see all these young people here, teenagers, these young youth that's in their 20s, early 30s. Amen. I've seen and talked to quite a few of them, and it's so great to see them serving God. Amen. How many knows that's something to shout about? Amen. They could be out on a street corner dealing or doing whatever they do out there in the streets. But I thank God. How many knows that Satan can't have them all? Amen. He can't have them all. Amen. And all we have to do is just give them. All we have to do is stick the Holy Ghost on them. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all we have to do. I was just wondering before I start, if my son Jeffrey, if he would like to just say a word of testimony. Amen. 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 I'm glad to have Jeffrey come up. He's our 15-year-old. The other two oldest boys aren't with us. But I told him I have a lot of memories up here. I said I might not get up here that often. But Pastor Miller used to be my pastor years ago. And when I got the Holy Ghost in Olean Revival Center when I was 5 years old. I haven't even been over to the pavilion, but I believe my name's still written in the concrete when they did that years ago, I think back in 77. And then Sister Judy there, I was telling her about how Duchess, when they used to have that dog over here, I used to live over here in this trailer, that her boxer used to get out and chase me. I was just a little guy, and I was afraid of that dog. And she would just put me up against the building and knock me down because she was just all happy. But how many knows it's good to look back at good memories, amen? Even the Olean Revival Center, I remember miracles of God happening back there in that church, Brother Fraser. I remember at a young age, 5, 6 years old, when they had a prayer service, when they set the chairs up and I seen legs grow back. They had a service there. I remember old foot washing services back then. You probably don't know about them nowadays. Amen. But I thank God that God helped me and blessed me. I told Brendan he's doing a good job on the drums. And I love to play drums for the Lord too, myself. And I remember Brother Pastor Miller there, he prayed for me one night, and he asked what the desire of your heart was, and I said to play drums, and I remember he went in the side room and got an old snare drum and gave it to me, and I never forget that too. So there's lots of memories here,
And God's faithful throughout all these years. God's faithful. And how many knows God needs faithful people? Amen. If it wasn't for you, there wouldn't be no family camp. Amen. How many believe that? Okay, over here in the book of Jeremiah, let's start here. We see here Jeremiah was just starting out in the ministry. And it says in Jeremiah 1:4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Father in heaven, God, we praise you and thank you for the opening of your word today. Now, Father God, I pray that you bless each and every one of your saints of God that's here. Mighty God, I praise you and I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. Father God, hide me behind the cross. Anoint these lips of clay to teach your word with the demonstration and the power of your spirit. And God, we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have the opportunity to teach the teenagers on Sunday morning, and it is an awesome privilege to teach the teens. And how many knows you can learn a lot by teenagers? Amen. And it's just like working with young kids. It's not like working with the adults, because the young kids will... they'll speak their mind. They'll tell you how they feel. And many times we serving God, we seem to look at the faces of other people and prejudge them. Amen? How many of you ever done that? We've all been there and done that. You know, maybe somebody's not feeling well one day or another, and they're looking pretty mean at you, and you're saying, well, they don't like me. But how many knows that the enemies of our minds likes to play mind games, and this is what we're going to be teaching about today. If you allow the enemy to play mind games with you, you're never going to go with God. How many knows that we can be on fire for God if we get our eyes stayed on Him? Because even in church services, we get distracted. How many knows that there's many distractions that the enemy likes to throw in our ways, especially if there's a word or a song we're supposed to be reaching out to God by getting blessed by that. Sometimes the enemy will allow certain things and certain people to distract you, and we need to get our mind stayed upon God. And even in Jeremiah's sake here, God was raising Jeremiah up to be a mighty prophet of Judah here. And Jeremiah here, just like any one of us would say, you know, many of us say, hey, we're not great speakers, we're not great elaborate talkers and everything like that. But how many knows that God is expecting willing vessels? That's all we have to do. Amen? How many believe that today? Amen. Excuse me. I'm sorry about my voice here. The devil's a liar. In verse 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And just like I teach the teenagers, I've told them over and over and over again, they're special in God's eyes. And I want to tell you the same thing today. Many of us feel inadequate. Sometimes you feel like you can't sing like so-and-so or do something like so-and-so. But how many knows that God has given us each a gift? Amen? Each of us are special in God's eyes. And God will perform a miracle whenever we step out and do the will of God. I think of other stories in the Bible. How many knows the story of Moses? Remember when Moses was called into the ministry? And I'll read a couple of scriptures real quick there. It's in Exodus, if you want to turn there. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. And it said, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Exodus 4:10 says, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." How many knows that we can make an excuse for everything? Amen? Many times, just like the other ministers have said during the services here, that we could have made an excuse not to be here today. Actually, I have an old work shirt I wear sometimes, and it says, I have a million excuses. Which one do you want to hear? Amen? That is very true, because we have an excuse for everything. There's many times we have excuses for not being in church, and just like Pastor Eastman said, you know, many guys get into sports, and there's nothing wrong with sports or fishing or having a hobby or hunting and everything, but if it draws you away from God, how many knows that there's a problem with that? The same way with a different person, or if you're dating, how many knows if you're dating and that one you're dating isn't close to God, you better open up your eyes and run the other way, amen? Because that'll get you in big trouble. But the enemy of our minds likes to play mind games, and I love reading here in the old prophets of Jeremiah and like Moses and King David, whenever they all started out, they were humble, but they were still making excuses because they said they didn't want to, they didn't have the great words to speak. But God is looking for willing vessels today, amen. I think of the story. There's many stories in the Bible, and I think let's turn over to 1 Samuel, chapter 3. We know all the story of Samuel here. But I enjoy many times that whenever you get called upon, even in a service, it's good. I really enjoyed Pastor Eastman's sermon this morning, because we need to train these young ones into the ministry, because how many knows, the older ones aren't going to be here forever. Amen. And we don't know when our time's up, but when it's there, we need somebody to take our place. Amen. And so it's good to have young preachers and ministers working in the work of God, Sunday school teachers, and just like he said, for everyone just needs a great help. How many knows even a kitchen help is great? Guess what? You wouldn't be eating that good food if we didn't have good kitchen help. I appreciate the cooks, and I thank you for that, for all the ones that's cooking this year. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, are you all there? Okay. Said, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision, and it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and he said, Here am I. Or he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I. For thou calledst me, and he said, I called not. Lie down again, and he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I. For thou didst call me, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go and lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee again, or call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, which I begin. I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever, for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restraineth them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, in that the iniquity of Eli's house shall be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And how many knows that that was the beginning of Samuel starting in the ministry of listening to God's word? How many knows that the Bible says that they were had to listen for the voice of God, and they just didn't have regular preachers and prophets come up to them at all times and speak the word, but they had to listen to the voice of God. And how many knows that nowadays there are many voices out in the world that's wanting to deceive and to lead you astray? Amen. And many times we're going to get led astray if we don't keep our mind stayed upon God. Many times we lose our prayer lives. We lose our dedication to God. I often wonder and ask many people, are you as close to God as you are 5 years ago? Are you as close to God 10 or 20 years ago? Have you dropped your standards? Have you dropped your dedication to God? If you have, how many knows that God hasn't changed? Amen? We might blame our problems and our trials and our struggles upon God at times, but how many knows that sometimes we bring them upon ourselves? But I love this about Samuel, because he was a willing vessel. Samuel was ready to do anything that Eli done. And how many knows that it's great to work underneath great pastors, and pastors are looking for great helpers. So if you're under a pastor, just like Brother Eastman said, you know, you just be a willing vessel, be available, do what the Lord wants you to do, and God will provide for you. Amen. And I see here that Samuel, excuse me, man. Samuel didn't question God about what to do, but Samuel was willing to do what God wanted him to do. And many times we need to get our questioning out of the way. You know, we always ask the question, why, when tragedies happen. We always say, why for this and why for that. But we need to realize that we need to just be dedicated to God and leave things in God's hands, and everything will be okay. Amen? How many knows that even though we're going through troubles and trials, the Bible says that He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. Amen? So God is faithful in everything He does, and He is right there beside us. And we need to listen to that soft voice of God, because God will help us make the right decisions, because we are living in the last days, whether you know it or not. We are living in the last days, and we are walking in a world that anything goes. Nobody is surprised about anything, because anything goes. And how many knows the Bible talks about having a seared conscience? Amen. Many times if you see something over and over and over again, you just put your okay on it. Amen. You put like a smiley face sticker from Walmart or something and put your okay approval on it. But God expects us to get on our knees and get before the throne of God and get on fire for Him. Amen? Just like these prophets in old. Amen? They didn't have all the entertainment that we have nowadays. And this is why I tell the teenagers, you know, the teenagers are spoiled nowadays. And whenever they go into church, they think they're supposed to be all exuberated, and how many knows that they can be on fire for God if they want to be, but they worry about playing these games or watching these action-packed movies and all this, and they expect this out of the house of God. But I told them they can get anything they want out of God if they want, you know, because we need to look at some of the old-time preachers here, some of the old-time mothers of Israel. How many knows that there are still mothers of Israel in the churches? And we should never, ever forget about them. And it's great, because that's how the miracles used to happen in the churches. And the miracles still happen today, but I'm telling you, back a few years back, how many knows that miracles happen more because we were more on our knees? Amen? How many knows whenever we come into church, we should never get in a hurry? You know, my kids will get anxious and they'll just try to do things and hurry up and get things done, but whenever we come to the house of God, we need to just forget about everything. It is a divine appointment to come into the house of God to talk with Him. Amen? It's a very special thing that we can be willing vessels. When we come into the house of God, we need to get our minds upon God and ask you know, what can I do in this service, or how can I be a blessing? It's just like Samuel here. Samuel was just a young man, just like he was going to Bible school, like some of these young guys do. Brother Randy, I said young guys, okay? Sorry about that. No, it's good to go into the ministry. How many knows that God called Moses at the age of 80? Amen? So anyone that's near 80, you're never too old. Okay? So don't ever say that God can't use me because of my age, because that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's because of the enemy of our minds. It's just like the enemy likes to play games, like if we have aches and pains in our body or if we have a disability. I mean, no, I've seen people with disabilities going to nursing homes, encouraging other people. Even in wheelchairs, they'd go around ministering and encouraging. There was a man that was already in the nursing home, and that was his home, and he was saved and born again, and he used to go around the different rooms every day and speak a word of encouragement to others. And here he was in a wheelchair, locked up in that nursing home for the rest of his life or for however long. And how many times do we give God excuses saying that we can't do anything? How many knows that excuse isn't going to hold up before the Lord? Amen? 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 How many believe that? And I see in all these Bible characters, we know the Bible is our roadmap to heaven. But how many knows all these characters are made for our example, all these prophets? Each one of these disciples and prophets. And I think of the disciples, you know, Jesus knew that when he was picking the 12, that Judas one day would betray him. He knew. He was the Son of God. He knows all. But we see that, we know the Apostle Peter, he had an awful temper. How many knows that we're going to have downfalls, amen? But we have to work on these downfalls we have in our lives, and God can work and move if we allow him to work and move in our lives. It's just like, I think of King David when he was out in the pasture field and he was talking to the Lord, and we know he had a tender heart before God, because that's why God picked him over his brothers. How many knows his brothers? He had big brothers. They might have looked big and strong, and they looked like leadership material, but how many knows that many times the Bible says when Samuel was speaking, he was saying that God looks upon the heart and not on the outward appearance. Amen. How many knows the outward appearance is deceiving many times? The same way, how many knows if you ever bought an old car and they might have shined her up real nice and put armor all over it and it looks all nice and shiny, but you get down the road and it breaks down on you. How many knows that shine isn't going to take care of the motor? Amen. But God is looking on the inner parts of our hearts. So it doesn't matter if we throw a suit on in church, it doesn't matter if we wear the fanciest dresses or whatever we wear to God. God is looking upon the heart. God is looking for willing vessels, because many times I think of the story in Ezekiel. A lot of stories are coming to my head. In Ezekiel, how many knows that where the prophet was talking about having a heart of stone, taking the heart of stone out and putting the heart of flesh? Many times we've all been through troubles and trials in our lives, and we went through many trials in our life, and sometimes we seem to get bitter in church. Amen. I am talking to believers of Christ. Amen. Christians do get bitter in their hearts, and we should never get that way, because God wants us to be willing and working in the kingdom of God. And sometimes if we get bitter, we get angry with each other. And how many knows that that's what the devil wants to do in the ministry? He wants to break up the ministry. He wants to break up. That's why he plays mind games with us. And I think of King David whenever he was young in heart. And it's good that he had a tender heart towards God, because he was able to do a work for God. And whenever the prophet Samuel came to him, he knew David wasn't there at the time, because he looked at all the other brothers. And then he asked Jesse if he had any more children. So don't ever think in your mind that you cannot do anything for God, because that's a lie. I want to emphasize that today, because many of you have a tendency, even in our campgrounds or our church, how many knows that sometimes we can get in a comfort zone And I tell everybody that, I like the comfort zone. Amen. How many knows that it's nice to just let everybody else do whatever they want to do and get up front and do things, but there's nothing wrong with being part of the ministry. Amen. And it's great to work for God. You ought to consider it a special privilege to work for God, and we should never be that way. And we know that God caused David to be a mighty warrior for him. And I often think of the battle when David went in towards Goliath at a young man at the age of, I don't know, it's 17, 18 years old. We don't know the exact date or age. But how many knows that God was with David when he was running after Goliath? You know, he was a big devil there, just running his mouth. The Bible says that David ran towards Goliath. And how many knows that sometimes we're running away from our giants? But we need to face them eyeball to eyeball. You know, many times we have giants in our lives. We have problems in our lives. But we need to face them eyeball to eyeball and tell the devil he's a liar. Amen. How many knows that all we have to do is speak the name of Jesus and he's already defeated? We already know, see, he was defeated at the cross. That's why he has to play mind games and make us look like we're nobodies. But God is on the throne. How many believe that today? Okay, I didn't wear my watch today, so I don't know how much time I have. Excuse me, but let's move on a little bit longer here. How many knows the story of Elijah? If you look back in the Bibles, in the Book of Kings, the great prophet of Elijah, and then the one that followed after him was Elisha. And we know that Elijah, whenever he went up against the prophets of Baal, remember the story where he called fire out of heaven? And then they killed all 400 prophets of Baal. But in the next scene of that same story, we see that he was the great prophet Elijah was in a depressive state. Do you remember that? The prophet heard that Jezebel was coming after him. One lady was coming after him to take his head from him. So he ran out in the wilderness. And how many knows that he had a great, great victory that day whenever he took care of those 400 prophets of Baal and they killed him off. But we see it doesn't matter if they're great prophets, great ministers of God or prophetesses, that they have bad days and they get depressed. And I'm trying to encourage you today that it doesn't matter if you're having a bad day, if you're having a bad life for a little while. I mean, knows that God's still on the throne. And it doesn't matter what's going to happen. And I have to throw this out. Brother Zach and Jeffrey heard Brother Finney say this. Warren Finney preached our youth camp, and he did an awesome job. And he's a fireball. But he threw this story out during one of his sermons. And he said, when they killed off all the 400 false prophets, the 400 prophets of Baal, he said, that's when the non-profit organization started. Amen. He's a kidder. He loves to joke around. But we need to realize that it doesn't matter what denomination we are. It doesn't matter what church we are. It doesn't matter what house we live in, what kind of car we drive. How many knows that we are all still the children of the King? Amen? And it doesn't matter what comes our way. God expects us to stand strong. Amen? How many believe that? Let's turn over here. I got one more scripture here in Ephesians. I know you're probably all getting hot and tired out there. Ephesians chapter 6, you probably can quote it. I think of the time, before I read the scripture, I think of the time when my father did go down to Mexico for the first time. And here we stayed in a little camper trailer. I think it was a little 24-foot trailer. And our interpreter Aníbal Petrie there. He was only about 5 foot high. He was a little Puerto Rican guy. He was my dad's interpreter. And actually, there wasn't enough room for myself and Aníbal to stay in the trailer, so my mother and Candy Lynn stayed there. And we slept in the van. My dad had to, I don't know if you remember, my dad had that old black van with the bed in the back. And actually, I was about 14 years old, and I was still too long back then. I couldn't lay in that little 5-foot-long bed there or something, however wide the van is. So I laid on the floor there for quite a while. And Aníbal, he was short enough, he could just sprawl right out on that little bed. But I think of the times that my father sacrificed for going down there. And even with just a small amount of money, I remember at times he would be going to the post office, and he was expecting an offering that someone said they were going to send, and it never came. And my father's favorite saying, I don't know if you ever remember it, my dad always said, it's always minor detail. He always said that, didn't matter how bad of a day he was having, he said, oh, minor detail, whatever happens, happens. And I thank God for that, because sometimes he didn't let things push him aside. He didn't let things cause him to get discouraged. And I could see it, you know, in his heart, in his life. He was serving God, and God was blessing him. And how many knows that God always met each and every one of our needs? Even down on the very last day, and there was times he was scraping pennies to buy a loaf of bread and eggs to get us by. God never failed us. We didn't go without eating or anything, and God was always faithful. And I thank God for the dedication of our older saints of God, just like my father. He was a great man of God. I looked up to him dearly, and just like many of you men of God here, I look up to you guys. And how many knows that the enemy wants each and every one of us to die out spiritually? He has spiritual blinders over many of us today, and sometimes you don't even know it. Especially teenagers. Teenagers think they come to church every Sunday, and they might come every Wednesday. But how many knows that just because you go to church doesn't mean you're going to have a guaranteed chance to go to heaven. We have to have that personal relationship with God. Amen. It's nice to be in church and every day to be faithful. But there's many times I just heard on the radio here the other day, one of the stations I listen to, Christian radio, and they said this one man goes to those Christian concerts up there at Creation there, Uniontown. And he went for 10 years to see all these great bands and listen to these great musicians. But he said for 10 years he didn't know the Lord. He heard a lot of preaching up there, and he loved the music because he was a musician. But he went for 10 years, and after the 10th year he finally got saved. So it doesn't matter even if you come to church for 10 years or 20 years. How many knows that we need to realize that we need to get on fire for God? God expects us to be mighty warriors in the kingdom of God. Amen. We should never stay in our comfort zones. We need to get out and have fun. How many knows that church can be fun? Amen. Boy, I got a couple of you out there. Amen. Church is supposed to be fun. Amen. Thank you, Kenneth. Appreciate that. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And at the end of verse 13 it says, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand. Many times we need to just stand still and see the salvation of God. You know, we should never run from the devil. It's just like I said, there's mighty many giants in our lives. There's problems in our lives, and we should never run from them. We can stand up to them. And God expects us to be armed with spiritual armor, okay? Many of us forget to put our spiritual armor on, and these fiery darts are darts of, it could be lust, it could be envy and strife, it could be anything in our lifestyle, and we should never allow the enemy to sneak in and come in like a flood, amen, because we need to raise up a standard and get our armor on and stand up for God. It's just like King David. Whenever David was going out to fight Goliath, remember King Saul? They said King Saul was close to 7 foot tall, so his armor was way too heavy for little David. And David had the armor of God on, so he didn't have to have a materialistic armor on. And so we need to realize that today. How many knows that our Bible is the sword of the Spirit? And if we don't read the Bible, we're not going to be armored against the enemy, because the enemy will play mind games with you. The enemy will cause you to get into a depressive state and get you all discouraged and downhearted. It's just like the prophet Elijah when he was running from Jezebel. You know, if he just stood up to 400 prophets of Baal, why would he run from little old Jezebel? It's because the devil was playing mind games and saying, hey, she's stronger and meaner than you, and she can take over you. But how many knows that God is still on the throne and He'll never leave us or forsake us? So that's why we're supposed to stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. But many of us forget verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So it says we need to pray always. You know, it doesn't mean we have to be on our knees 24/7. But even as I drive truck 60, 70 hours a week, I thank God for Christian music and Christian radio, because, you know, you can still have a talk with God even on the job and talking to the Lord. And God will lead you and guide you to different ones. I thank God that you can hear the small voice of God, because God has even led me to different ones out on the route I've been to, and we're delivering dumpsters and stuff like that. That God has allowed me to pray for ones that just lost a loved one, because many times whenever I deliver those big dumpsters, you know, they're cleaning out houses and different ones pass away at times, and you know, they're still in mourning, and God will lead you to different ones. And I thank God I was able to help this lady out back in the year 2000. I was running late that day for a reason, and I don't know the reason, but now I know. This little old lady went down at 6 o'clock in the morning to get her paper, and it was winter time. And here she was laying out in the middle of the road. She slipped on ice and broke her hip, and it was like 15 degrees out that morning, and she didn't have a big coat. She had her house coat and stuff on, but you know, she would have froze to death, and I thank God for leading me to that little lady. I had to carry her back up to the house, and they called the ambulance real quick. They found out she had a broken hip. They got a hold of me later and wanted to give me something. But God is faithful, you know, in no matter what we do, because it's just like the Apostle Paul would say, for to me to live is Christ, and is to die is gain. And we should always get ourselves out of the way, amen. If we get ourselves out of the way, I mean, notice tonight. How many is going to be here tonight? Okay, if we get ourselves out of the way and get our mind upon God, how many knows the power of God's going to move, amen. The power of God's going to move and work in our lives and in the lives of ones that needs a touching from God. Because how many knows that there are hurting people here today? There are hurting people here coming to the camp. Some know the Lord, some doesn't, but it doesn't matter. Even if you know the Lord, you're going to be hurting at times. You know, you're going to go through troubles and trials, but God is always there. But we're going to be fight a real devil every day. That's why the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and rulers and darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So if God would open up our spiritual eyes, it would probably scare us half to death to see. The Bible talks about how there they're warring in heaven, in the heavenlies, you know, because of the enemy. That Satan doesn't want you to go to church, and he doesn't want you to go to heaven and be on fire for him. But I just want to encourage you today that God is looking for willing vessels, and I pray to God that we can be willing vessels for him, because God is faithful and he's just to forgive us of all of our sins. And the Bible says that he will never leave us or forsake us. You know, even in rough times, it doesn't matter what we go through. We've all been there, and I know we've even losing loved ones to the grave. That's a very hard trial to go through at times. But God is faithful, and he'll help us through it. Amen? Amen. Brother Dave, God bless you. Amen. While he's coming, let's sing this little song, I Surrender All. Oh, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all.
Surrender all. Surrender all to Jesus. Let it speak to you even
to
while we're
thee,
singing this response.
My
you know.
Blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed.